The No Money But Dreams podcast is for those millennial dreamers
who try to be in the top 1%.
It doesn't matter what we've achieved.
We wake up every morning with the mindset that we're still broke.
We welcome you on our journey in search of that home run,
which can change everything.
Everything?
Everything.
Welcome to episode 34 of the No Money But Dreams podcast. Our guest today is Adham Al-Khaja. And Adham first caught my eye when I saw you creating content for your personal page and obviously also promoting your business called Sayola.ai. I always find it super interesting to see content creators who are business owners or entrepreneurs, because you can so quickly tell somebody who's just creating content, which is funny, and people who are actually trying to create content which has value, you know. And as an entrepreneur, I think everything that you have learned, there's this huge opportunity now with social media to actually allow people to learn and not make the same mistakes you did. And by the same token, I think that social media and media in general has this massive leverage, which as a business owner or as somebody who wants to start a business, we see a massive opportunity. Can you tell us a bit about yourself? Give us a bit about your background, where you grew up, and a little bit of your backstory.
Sure. Thank you very much. And it's a pleasure to be here, Alex. So where should I start? I'll go way back. So initially, I've been in the business space for a while right now. And I've started at a really young age because my father used to pull me with him to his businesses at that time. But by the way, and all this did not click until I got to this stage where I looked back. You know how Steve Jobs says that you cannot connect the dots looking forward, but looking back at what you have done. Maybe paraphrase that. But yeah, it started all the way back where I used to go with my father. Then at some point, I got dogs. I really loved animals. I started breeding dogs and selling dogs, but that was not sustainable or scalable. And then I started, I got really into tech and robotics. Then I started a tech company where we built robots for other people. And the funny story is that we wanted to compete with someone over here. And this is a really young age, by the way. So I wanted to compete because I wanted to buy parts for robots, which I was teaching somewhere. But the prices were too expensive.
The price of the robots was too expensive.
No, the components of that robot. And I remember a friend telling me, a friend who's really famous right now in the food industry, maybe you know him. He told me that you're going to get stuck with the capacitors that you have bought and you're going to just keep it at home. But that was not true. So what I did was I was importing from outside and was selling to other places. And I remember at that time, the owner of that place called me. I don't want to name his name, but he called me. He said, I see you doing something similar. Let's collaborate. I got scared and immediately like closed the phone and just deleted my company and deleted everything. So I said, let me go teach. So I was teaching children, basically kids at that time, to how to build these robots. Mm-hmm. And fast forward, I got my first paycheck, let's say, as a business at that time. And during that time, I wrote something about I wanted to contribute to the space industry in any way possible. And that post is still on Instagram. Mm-hmm. And fast forward, I really got into the space industry in terms of doing my master's, pursuing my PhD and so on. Build a space company, build another space company, which used AI.
Hold on. We're building space companies, man. Yeah, take it back just a little
robots
bit.
From dogs to robots to space companies. Then a bit investment AI stuff. Mm-hmm. And then now where we are, which is Sayola. So going back, why did I start a space company? Basically, I looked at what was happening in the world and I looked at the space in general. You know, everyone dreams to be an astronaut at some point.
Definitely.
And then I looked at robotics. Basically, satellites are basically robots in space. So I said, this is very similar. This is very interesting. Let me try it. So I tried it out. And one thing led to another where I just compounded the skills I had from robotics and business and so on to actually building a space company. And it was part of many missions here in the UAE, which were space missions. And from there, I got really specialized into a certain technology in that satellite. Let me just very briefly explain it to your audience is that when you send the satellite into space, you want to control it to point at a certain location. Mm-hmm. So controlling that satellite was something I was specialized in, mm-hmm. which was the specialty also of the company that we started. And then started another space company out of that, where we took data from satellites to see the deformation in the land. Basically, in the UAE, what we do is we pull water from underground. And when we pull water, land goes down, and that's why you see the cracks on the walls and you see the cracks on the roads and so on.
Okay.
So we were tracking that with satellites using AI data. And then after that, and of course, investments, and tell me where, I mean, if where do you want me to go into more details? I can go into more details. But then we went into crypto a bit, and then investments, real estate, stocks, and so on. Like, I got into that world. Mm-hmm. Then life pulled me back to the business world, because that was not me. Maybe we could tap in more details on this as we go forward, because I have a certain mindset around it. But yeah, overall now, where I'm with Ciola, which is basically we're helping other businesses grow.
So where did you go to university? Your undergrad?
My undergrad. So funny story is, now they're all called Khalifa University, but before it was Petroleum Institute, PI. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Then they all got merged at some point, but master's was in Masdar, which mm-hmm. also got merged to Khalifa University, and PhD I pursued it in Khalifa University.
Okay. And then coming out of university, how did you start a space company? It was a satellite company that you started?
Actually, I started the company during my master's, not coming out of university. Mm-hmm. And the robotics things happened during my bachelor's and pre-bachelor's.
Okay.
And I started that time because I was building satellites. Mm-hmm. I was part of certain missions here in the UAE, and I was getting specialized on a certain, which is what I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. I was getting specialized in that area. Not many people were doing that here in the UAE at that time.
It was quite unique.
Yes. And there was a top professor that was in the UAE at that time who was really good in this area. And I became a sponge, just stuck to this person and just tried to learn as much as possible. Like, I would stay after hours. I would stay next to his office, just like with my laptop next to his office, like his office is over here. Just go ask him, how's this? Come back. Until I got really annoying and he left the university at some point.
Because of you?
No. Of course not because of me, but he left at some point. So that's where I transformed this idea and my expertise that I got in this field into a company, which was Fada Space Services at that time.
And then you exited that company, I understand.
And then we started Ayn Astra, which is under it. And then we started a couple of other companies where we were thinking of building components for other satellites, like mm-hmm. each component, the battery and so on.
Build those in the UAE.
Yes. And then, of course, life took us on a different direction, which is now where we are in investments and building other companies.
Okay. So tell us a bit more about Ciola.
So Ciola is basically a business for building other businesses. Ciola is also, in Arabic for the English speakers, it means liquidity. So what we do is we gathered all the experience we got from the past 10 years in business and beyond 10 years, but I'm saying 10 years as what's available online and basically building in public for the past 10 years. And we're now focusing that on other companies or businesses in the UAE, mainly entrepreneurs who are just getting started out, but they're not at the wannapreneur phase where they're thinking of a business, because these people have the most excuses. We can talk about this and just help them get over that hump. Mm-hmm. But once they have an idea, they made a bit of money, that's where we start working with them to transform them within 6 weeks to set all the fundamentals right. Because right now, last year, in the UAE, there are companies coming out called AI automation agencies.
Okay.
Where they automate using AI, some kind of ChatGPT, API connection and so on. But the issue with that is that it amplifies like any tech. So if the fundamentals of the business is wrong, AI won't work for you. Mm-hmm. If you get the fundamentals right, everything will work. It's like leveraging what you have.
Definitely.
And the issue that I saw personally was that many companies were going for chatbots, were going for any AI new thing, just to have AI in
just to have AI in their name and raise yes, money.
Exactly. And what was happening is that they didn't have the business fundamentals. So I said, let's go back and just fix all these baselines. And that's how we were able to help more than 50 companies last year, mm-hmm. and hopefully more this year.
So Ciola is basically a service.
True.
Which is offered to entrepreneurs, mm-hmm. which allows them to kind of fix all the fundamentals of their business, which will allow them to then leverage AI.
True. 100%.
Very interesting.
And also we use AI as intelligence to look at data. I come from a data background, so we use AI to leverage the data we have from the AI. For example, what are people saying on Instagram? What are people searching for on Google in the UAE specific data? And basically make conclusions that this is what the market wants and needs, and this mm-hmm. is what you have and what you're offering. This is what's missing. The gap is over here, and this is how we're going to help you achieve your goals.
And is there a minimum revenue that you look at? For example, the business must have a minimum of X revenue in a year.
Yes, actually, we were looking at revenues 200,000 to 500,000 at least.
Dirhams or dollars?
Dirhams. Mm-hmm. So, and also to be less than 4 million as well. Mm-hmm. 4 million because $1 million is approximately almost 3.68, but 4 million dirhams. So at least below that, because this is the area that I've seen they have the most fundamental problems and the biggest issue they have, they don't know which fire to put out right now. Mm-hmm. They have the problem. They don't know where their next customer will come from. They don't know how they're going to pay the bills. They don't know if they want to hire or not at this point. So I can tap on all their problems. And these are, and we basically structure a solution to solve all these problems.
Okay. And where do you see is the major problem in most startups which are at that size? If you could just note one single problem that you keep seeing reoccurring.
They don't know what problem to put out first.
They can't take like an objective view of their business.
True.
Basically.
They don't know strategy. What is strategy is basically allocating the resources you have.
Mm-hmm. As optimal as possible.
Yes, basically that. But they don't know where to allocate the resources. The biggest issue I've seen is that they pay unnecessary, let's say, they have unnecessary expenses mm-hmm. at that stage. For example, they focus too much on the website. They focus too much on the logo. That does not move the business at this point. Once you're beyond 4 million, then you can talk about these stuff. Mm-hmm. But right now, there are four fundamental things that you need to focus on and master to get to that point. So that's the biggest issue, I think. They're focusing on the wrong problems. They focus on it for a really long time. They get exhausted because nothing is working, nothing is moving. And they say, business is not for me. Mm-hmm. But if they focus on the right problems, they would get to their target or objective that they want to achieve. Mm-hmm.
And what kind of industries have you worked with so far? Predominantly e-commerce?
E-commerce, yes. We've worked with basically famous industries here in the UAE. Basically, also we've worked with coffee shops, beauty, skincare. We've worked with fashion brands. Currently, we're working with a flower shop. We've worked with what you find on Jumeirah Road, basically.
So the idea is that as a small business owner, they come to you mm-hmm. and then it's more like a consulting but over a 6-week period. Is there a certain promise to multiply the revenue, or what's kind of the offer that Ciola gives?
Okay, perfect. So
the $100 million offer.
Okay, perfect. Yeah. So let me go into the details of the $100 million offer as well. So the promise is basically we fix your fundamentals where you're fit or good enough in order to reach a certain point, which is 4 million beyond, mm-hmm. 4 million dirhams in revenue beyond. So the offer is we look at your business as the whole, look at the marketing, look at how you do the sales, we look at what you're focusing on, we look at which market you're targeting and so on, and fix all that. The risk reversal, since we're talking about 100 million offers, is that you don't pay if you don't get results. If you're unsatisfied in any way, you don't pay. And we give you a full refund for everything you paid. We don't take everything up front, but we give you a full refund of everything you paid initially. Mm-hmm. And that's basically it. And within 6 weeks, we fix it. It's not just consulting. We do also services for you. We sit with you and do the work. We don't just tell you, okay, this is good advice. If you apply it,
it's not just a PowerPoint presentation.
Yes, true. Exactly. Because Also, one issue that I've seen with multiple clients is that if you do purely consulting, they tell you, I don't have the time to do this. I don't know, I don't have the expertise to do this. Like if you tell them, adjust this on your website, you're going to convert better. They say, I don't know how, because they've outsourced the website to someone else and that someone else is not available anymore, or they're going to charge a retain, a monthly retainer on...
Which just doesn't make sense on the
exactly,
business.
Exactly. And yeah, so that's why you couple consultation with done for you services to fix the business.
So moving away, how do you market Seola? Obviously you market it probably through your contacts, which you've built by doing business in the UAE, true. But I see you doubling down on creating content and media.
True.
Why do you spend so much time? As somebody who has a background in space, I would assume you have quite a high IQ, I would assume. Why do you think media is so important for a business?
It's important for different reasons for different people. For us, and for me personally, it's not as a client acquisition channel, and it's not for landing deals with brands or working with brands. It's more of, let me tell you. So since I talked about my history of where I got and the companies I started and so on, at this point, there was a point last year, the beginning of last year, I thought, why are most of the billionaires in private equity? Like I was just thinking, like I was just searching around and so on. And then I came to the conclusion that they invest in multiple businesses. And so I just watched their behavior and so on. And having such a target, I went back and said, how can I be in a vehicle that would get me that far as they are? So that's where I got into this idea of let me invest in other businesses. But then I came down to invest in other businesses. I thought, how can I invest in other businesses? Like I went really fundamental at that point.
It went from first principles.
Yes, true. So how do I invest in, how do I find them? What are the requirements and what's the investment thesis around it and so on? So then I came to this conclusion, why not? I put stages basically like entrepreneurs, low cash flow business, high cash flow businesses, and then really advanced businesses. So I said, entrepreneurs are not companies that I want to work with, neither I want to invest in. That's too risky. Maybe someone with low cash flow or a high cash flow that has potential with the business fundamentals not being right. So then I said, let me start Seola, which is the Seola Partner Program, where we fix the fundamentals I just mentioned. Mm-hmm. And out of those people, I have not yet invested in any, but I'm looking to be maybe a partner or invest in one of them to take them beyond the level that they reach. But this cycle is basically proving to them that this works.
Yeah.
This is how you do it. Mm-hmm. And now you got here, we can 10x that. So that's where I started creating content. I said, okay, now the first portion of this, entrepreneurs to entrepreneurs, will be the content I create. Mm-hmm. The second portion of this, entrepreneurs to high cash flow entrepreneurs, will be the service I provide. The third portion is the partner that we're going to become partners with you to take you beyond the 100 million, let's say.
I love the idea. Fantastic. And makes a lot of sense from first principles. Because again, even as me as an entrepreneur, when you think about what your dream would be, it would be to sit with interesting people and get a piece of the action within their business if you saw potential. Mm-hmm. But when you're coming in and you're saying, okay, we're going to fix the business and then I'm going to really take a fundamental look at your business. Mm-hmm. And then if I think there's potential, I'll take a punt or take a risk. Mm-hmm. Then that's like a VC. It's right between VC and PE almost.
True. True.
But it's like that sweet spot because PE is always going for like kind of like boring returns in comparison to 100x unicorn that VC has.
100%.
And I remember when I first like started Burger 28 and I saw a lot of friends who were in the tech space. They were raising $10 million in this. I'm like, I'm an idiot. Like, why can't I raise $10 million? Mm-hmm. And then I realized that all these VCs, they have $200 million and they take $500,000 punts.
Mm-hmm. True.
At pretty much anything, if there's a story in a pitch deck, that's why I was making fun of you with the with the PowerPoint presentation, right? Mm-hmm. And then you realize these guys are just looking for one outsized return.
True.
You know, from deploying $200 million, let's say 200 times, if they can get a 1,000x on an IPO or something like that, they cover their whole fund plus and return the money back. Mm-hmm. So it's quite interesting, but I love that idea. Mm-hmm. And I think that it's a very, very prudent choice and super calculated.
Mm-hmm. And just to add to this point, the point that you mentioned that they look only for that one unicorn, statistically speaking, I've talked to VCs, and it's only 2% of the people they invest in
that hit.
That hit.
Wow.
In a year. So they know that number, and they just keep on putting in money everywhere and mm-hmm. see who are the 2% that hit.
Exactly.
So if you can get that to 4%, that's a 2x, I mean.
Exactly.
So
100%. Yeah. If you can get it to 6%, 8%.
True.
With more data and not just taking, maybe you're completely disrupting the way that VCs look at business in the end. Mm-hmm. You know, if you could do what you're doing at scale
mm-hmm, true.
And as many businesses as possible, mm-hmm. and you had the data points and you were reading those data points because you knew which ones from the first 2 weeks, what's the probability that this business is going to be one that if I invest in, I'll be able to make money later down the line using AI, then that's
true.
Unbelievable.
True.
Well, it's all clicking now.
True. Yeah, that's good.
So obviously you have some money, you have some wealth, you're investing it, not only in potentially into businesses that go through Ciola and also through Ciola, you also have a portfolio in crypto, I understand. Mm-hmm. Why do you think a lot of people have a misconception between what wealth is and what like earning capacity is? Because I think like a lot of people earn and they spend it. Those people are not necessarily wealthy. Do you see a paradox in that, or how do you see that playing out, or how does it work in your head? Because you need to learn how to preserve the money and invest it. But a lot of people who don't have that mindset just spend it, and they're actually not getting any wealthier, even though their earning capacity is growing.
True. So you can look at this, and the way I look at it basically is from what stage am I in right now? If we go back, for example, I want to cater to all the people that are watching this podcast. If you go back to what you just mentioned, is that those people just want to pay bills. They want to pay rent. They want to eat. They want to just survive, basically, with the income they're making. Mm-hmm. And it kind of grows, the income they're making, even though it grows, their spending grows because they want to eat more. They want to spend more. They want to eat at better places and do better stuff and travel and all that. So that's stage number one. And when you're in that stage, because I have been there, you can't see beyond stage number one. Like your mind is not, like money is a very sensitive topic for many people.
Yeah.
And they get very angry very easily if you just tell them anything about money and don't do this and that. So they can't think beyond that. So what they need is enough pain. And this is what worked with me. For me, of course, I don't know if it applies to everyone, but from my experience, you need enough pain to see beyond. And you need enough purpose to see beyond, like, why am I doing this? And you need to be thinking between yourselves. And once you see beyond, then you start thinking in a different way where you say, okay, I need to get more of this while keeping, at least maintaining my living expenses for a season or two. A season, I mean, maybe a year, 2 years, 3 years, and increase my expenses so I can move to the next level. And the biggest issue, I think the biggest contributor to this is that they don't see beyond that period and they're too stuck in survival phase. And that's mm-hmm. where someone, I believe the best option would be someone to come in and pull them out or watch, for example, a podcast about it or watch a video about it and say, okay, there's more to what there is in life and so on than just surviving for every single year.
Exactly.
And yeah, that would be my opinion, the biggest contributor. I'm speaking, of course, from my experience. It could be different for everyone else.
And what do you invest in?
Okay. So after I finished the business part, I didn't finish completely, but I stopped, let's say. And I came to a point where I said, okay, let me maintain what I have. And this is where I got into investing. And investing, it's a skill as much as business is a skill. So I invested in real estate, crypto, I invested in stocks, I invested in gold, commodities, gold, and I can talk about each by itself. But I invested in all of these. But now what I do is I cycle between them. It's not more of let me buy and hold. And it's not of let me buy this only. For example, real estate, I bought a lot of real estate at some point and I offloaded a lot at some point because it did not match my personality. So mm-hmm. my portfolio is now moving kind of. And this will help with AI, of course. We build an AI software just to manage the portfolio, but it's moving and it's in cycles. So if you ask me, what do you invest in? What should I invest in? And so on. I move the money basically where the where I see maximum potential for growth of that money.
And do you have a target return per year that you look to get?
I don't have a target return exactly, but it depends on the asset class as well, because what we do is we look at historical data. We know real estate gives you, for example, 6%, let's say give or average take, yeah, per year. And we know that crypto can do in, let's say, a bull market, it's going lower now. For example, if you just look at Bitcoin, but it can do 5 to 13x. If you go a bit risky, you can do 50x. So you see 60% here and you see 5 to 13x over here. So you're like, okay, what's my target for this year? It depends on the cycle and what's actually moving. And the targets change, of course. It's not a fixed target for each year, but it keeps on changing each year.
And how much of your time do you allocate to asset management or portfolio management? And how much time do you spend on Ceola?
I used to allocate a lot in asset management before, as soon as I started to maintain, I said I want to maintain this. But now I'd say only 5 to 10% of my time goes to asset management, because one, I automated the process basically using AI, and I hired a team to build that AI model and everything just to manage those assets. And I have a different philosophy about investment than business, but business meets my personality more than investment. Investment is good to have. Real estate is too slow for me, for example. Business, I can make much more with the same effort and time. Like, I look at it as input and output. Mm-hmm. So where can I put this much time and what's the output I'm going to get? In business, I put 10 minutes, let's say, I make this much. In investment or investments in any class, I put this much, I make this much. So it's kind of, this is better business for me. So more time goes to business and Ceola than investments and portfolio management. I hire people to do that.
If someone came to you and said, how can I become rich? What would be your piece of advice to them?
There are many ways to be rich. So my advice would be, you can take the investment route and you can take the business route. Each requires different kind of skills. The investment route may take a long time and you need ammo to burn. And yeah, you can take both routes. Depends on your personality. I always recommend anyone who asks me, I want to invest in crypto, I want to invest in NFTs, I want to invest in real estate, I want to invest in whatever. I ask this question: do you have the skills to invest in that, or are you sold to invest in that based on social media and so all that?
That's the key point.
Yeah, so they want to get rich quick, I assume, by thinking if they buy real estate, they get the status, I'm a real estate investor and so on. But the thing is, they don't have the skills. If you're just starting out, completely being honest, you don't have the skills and you most probably will lose money with the wrong investments, and that's going to happen 100%. So the business route is more controllable, where the inputs that you put can give you a certain return. And what I recommend, like if a general advice over here, is that focus on cash flow first, because you're going to make mistakes. A mistake can cost you a lot of time. Basically, you feel handcuffed. You can't do anything because you need to pay a debt that you took or whatever it is, or you lost too much money. So get the cash flow first. And investments kind of can give you a cash flow if you have high money up front, for example, real estate, rental yield, or dividends from stocks. But how much is that? So I always recommend get cash flow from whatever source. I recommend business as well, because it's easy for me. And then start investing and making your wealth in somewhere else. So you need to understand the concept of money and how can you rotate this money between cash flow and investments. And investment is stage number two. Stage number one is cash flow. That's my only advice.
You've said multiple times now that business is easy for you. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of elaborate a bit on that? Why do you think, because a lot of people struggle with it. Entrepreneurship has one of the highest failure rates out of anything you can do. But obviously you have a massive upside as well, unlike being an employee or being stuck in the office. Mm-hmm. Why do you say business is easy for you?
I say business is easy because I know how to do business, and I've broken down business to a science with the art that I've acquired during the years. to the science, I mean, like, let's break this down really fundamentally so everyone just benefits from. How do you start a business? You need to know what can you provide to the market? What value can you provide? What are people going to pay you for? It's not about what you love. It's about what you can provide, because the market pays you on results. So once you figure that out, then you figure out what you can sell. And once you figure out what you can sell, you figure out how can you sell that, how to get people interested to buy from you. And once you figure that out, okay, then you figure out, okay, now they're interested. How can I convince them that to give me money so I can deliver this thing that they want? Once you convince them, then you need to actually deliver, so they don't say, give you bad reviews and tell all their friends, do not go to this person. So if you break each of these that I just mentioned, each of these steps, into also smaller steps, you can see that it's really simple. It's just like, can you smile, like, for example, for your burger joint. Can you smile if someone comes in your burger joint? Yes. Can you take feedback? Yes. Can you flip a burger? Yes. Can you, like, it comes down to these, like,
simple, yes, simple, minute processes.
Yes, true.
That, like, all equal to the bigger.
True, like 200 to 500 tasks, mini tasks. If you do, you're going to get the money. The more you do that, the more money you're going to get.
Yeah.
So it's easy. Just do more. Hire more people to do more.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's all processes.
Yes, it's all processes, exactly. And that's how I think, basically, and why it's easy. Investment also can be easy. It's not just about business being easy. Business is easy for me.
Mm-hmm.
But anything can be easy if you put a process to it. And
that's what everybody struggles with. It's true. Like losing weight. It's like going to the gym. It's like nurturing relationships with loved ones. All of this, they're all processes, and it takes discipline.
True. 100%.
But if you break everything down into a process,
mm-hmm,
then it makes it almost automated.
100%. And the biggest issue I've seen with business is also when people say business is hard. Business is not hard. The entrepreneur is hard. So in a business, there are two things. There is the vehicle and the entrepreneur running that vehicle.
Mm-hmm.
80% of the time, the problem is the entrepreneur.
Yeah,
the limiting beliefs that entrepreneur has.
Mm-hmm.
It's not
limiting beliefs he has in himself.
Yes,
or in
himself. He can't charge money because he's not comfortable taking money from other people. That's, you won't make money. How are we going to make money?
Yeah,
I won't market because I don't want to look salesy. Okay, that's, you're not going to make money. So it's mostly in the entrepreneur. If I want to tell you how to market, I can tell you, do it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Mm-hmm.
Can you do that? Yes, but will you do that? Yeah, that's a problem.
That's a little nugget of gold, man. What do you struggle with the most?
In what sense? Business or life?
In business. In business and in life.
Struggle. Also, to cater this to the audience, at each point, I struggled with different things. Like, before, I struggled to make money. Right now, then I struggled to start a business. Then I struggled how to market. Then I struggled, and the biggest struggle for me was at some point, this is one of the biggest struggles, and I'll tell you what's right now. The biggest struggle was, I come from an engineering background,
mm-hmm,
where I fully focused on product. I said, build the best product, people will come. I built the best product, people did not come. For 2 years I've been building and people did not come because people did not know. That's where marketing came in, and I had to shift my mind in a way. But the thing I struggle with right now is, you can get to a certain point with the skills and everything as you, but beyond that point, you need a team.
Yeah,
a team as hungry and as aligned as you. I think I don't want to call it a struggle, but there's a challenge there of finding similar-minded people that want to go to the same point and also have chemistry in some way with that person, like,
yeah,
being aligned with the same vision. Because a person at that level is competitive. Like, it's natural. The reason he got to that level is because he was competitive.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to dominate. So how do you get along with other people that are at that level? And there's this quote that people say, it's lonely when you go above or something like,
yeah,
that.
Yeah, when you're at the top.
But you can get to the top if you're alone.
Yeah.
That's the misconception over here. You can't get to the top if you're alone. So
you can or can't?
You can't.
Yeah, I agree.
You need people around.
And
you.
It's weird because, as you said, as an entrepreneur, you want to be the one making the decisions. You want to take the decisive. Like, you don't really like people telling you. I mean, that's how I feel. I don't particularly like people telling me what to do, even though it's constructive feedback. Mm-hmm. But you need to look internally and understand what you're saying is that you need people who have unique skill sets, and when you put them together, then you can execute a massive task.
True.
But you have the hardest part down. You have the technical know-how, you have the engineering background, kind of like how Elon Musk, for example, can do both. He can build product and he's also an excellent marketer. Mm-hmm. And that what's puts him in a really unique position, but he couldn't have built what he's built without other people around him who are like-minded.
True.
And his autobiography, if you've read it or not, is incredible to listen to what extent like MIT graduates go on an island to make sure a rocket fires.
True, 100%. You know?
And he's a leader, which I respect in so many ways, because he's the kind of leader that if there's a problem, he'll sleep in the factory. Mm-hmm. The guy's worth $220 billion, but he'll sleep there until it's fixed. And I think a lot of leaders in our day and age kind of like want to sit on their ivory tower and bark orders down to people. And more people are not willing to do that. No, they need to buy into the vision. They need to buy into you. Mm-hmm. They need to believe in you. And they need to see that you're willing to take a cut here, or you're willing to go down to the nitty gritty, or clean the toilets, for example. Mm-hmm. But in order for you to succeed, you need to know every single level of your business. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? From flipping the burgers, to answering the phone, to taking an order with a smile, as you had said in my business, for example, all the way to running the ads on the Talaba, to running ads on Facebook, etc. And if you don't know everything holistically about your business, then I don't think it's that easy to succeed in this day and age.
I agree, 100%.
What would you say is the most... No, what's a great company that nobody has started yet, in your opinion? Where do you see that there's a massive opportunity?
In the UAE or...
In the UAE. In the UAE and then the world. Or you can choose, UAE or the world.
I'd say in UAE because I have more experience in it. And I've seen the market. I've been watching it really closely.
I just imagine you like with a million screens looking at the market.
No,
like,
just three.
Only three. So, 75-inch screens.
Yeah,
only
three. So, yeah, in the UAE, I'd say... And this is, I think... It could be valuable for a lot of people, and I don't think much talk about it. And I'm not sure if you're going to put it as well. But in the UAE, if we look at it realistically at the market, we have the locals, the Emiratis, the Arabs, and we have the foreigners and the expats. Mm-hmm. They're both in the UAE. And if we look at Emiratis, they're around 1.5 million population worldwide. We have 10 million in the UAE. So... And if we look at Arab, other Arab nationalities, also they're here. And I sit with both of them. I sit with locals. I'm a local. I know how they think and what businesses they're starting and their world, Arabs. And I sit also with expats and foreigners because I've grown up basically with them in university and so on. So I know how to connect and so on. But there is a big gap, and I get it from both sides, them working together. Mm-hmm. In certain ventures. And you can add on this, of course, from your point of view, but the Arabs don't know how to work with foreigners, and foreigners, they don't want to work with Arabs. They said they're kind of closed. They want to stay in their own groups. Mm-hmm. So the biggest opportunity I've seen is, and I've seen examples of this as well, is once these two sides come together in one business, and they decide to dominate a certain industry and build something in a certain industry. That's when you get the best of both worlds in the same place, and they're pushing a certain business forward.
And your total addressable market is the whole of the UAE, not just one sector of
it. Because for me as well, when I started creating content, I create content in English, not because I don't know Arabic, but it's because of the total addressable market from a business perspective. Mm-hmm. And many of my friends and people I know, which are on the Emirati and Arab side, tell me, why do you do it in English? And the English people say that I'm enjoying that someone from the other side is making content. So you can see proof that there is this gap. Mm-hmm. So the person who can bridge this gap as close as possible in a beneficial way, I think has the massive opportunity to excel and dominate the market here.
Interesting. Do you consider yourself successful?
What do you define success as? Like, I'll tell you the truth. I don't like saying that I'm successful. Even, and I think this comes from back where, by the way, I didn't go to my graduation of my master's and my PhD because I don't want to end something. Mm. I don't like ending something. When you say I'm successful, you're ending something. Like, I'm successful.
It means you've reached somewhere.
I've reached a certain point. I don't like ending something. So I don't like that label in terms of being successful. I have targets. There are targets I have achieved, and there are targets I still did not achieve. So I'm looking to the targets I have not achieved. If I look at that, I'm not successful. Mm-hmm. If the ones I have achieved, I feel successful. So I'd rather look at the ones that I have not achieved, and I could say I'm not successful yet. And nice. I will never be.
Why do you think Dubai has been so successful in the world?
So this reminds me of a book that I've read. It's called, I think, The Sheikh CEO. I don't know if you know it. It's about His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid. So it basically tells you how Dubai is running and how Dubai became what it has become by the power of our leadership and so on. So I think the vision of our leadership and all the leaders that have in plan for the country, where they took it from absolute desert to what it is today, is the reason of the success. And they see, and of course they see things that we have never seen and we can't see because they see it from a different level. They have different visions for what is to come. They have strategies in place right now that are for 2030, 2033, because they see things happening in the world that we don't see, but we will be happy that this happened after 5 or 10 years. So I give it highly to our leadership, and I highly recommend to read that book as well, because it just tells you how Dubai is kind of run like a business startup, where they're agile, they adapt very quickly, and they just adapt to the changes happening in the world.
There's just constant iterations.
Yes,
and true. The iterations can be so quick.
True, exactly.
Whereas you look at other countries and an iteration takes like 2 years, here it can be almost done in 2 months.
Exactly.
And everybody believes that the leaders have their best interest.
Mm-hmm, true.
And that's a big thing. Mm-hmm. You know, when you've seen so much development and you've seen so much positivity come from your leadership, like if they say, look, this is what we should do, this is the right way, you say, of course. Mm. You know, and I think that's the biggest difference between this area and a lot of other countries.
100%.
I mean, I was born here. I've seen it from, I remember when Dubai was just Hard Rock Cafe. That's when it started. Mm-hmm. Then I remember the first like Hard Rock Cafe closed down and they built the first like interchange around it. All the way to like the Burj Khalifa, the Palm Island. When I went to boarding school when I was 15, I went to England to boarding school. No one had heard of Dubai when I was 15. When I left, everybody wanted to come to Dubai. Mm. And it was such a like a proud moment to see that transition.
True.
Through the marketing, through every single thing that they did. It's just been executed so well.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
What would you say to people watching this podcast who are working in a job that they hate, taking a salary every single month, and want to start their own business, but they're obviously scared?
So you're saying they have a salary and they want to start. So they're kind of thinking of starting a business. They have not executed.
I love how analytical your mind is. You go to every single minute detail.
Because I like to break things down to really fundamental pieces. So I'd first start with, because since they have not started, they're better off hearing this, that it's going to be really hard to start a business if you don't know what you're doing. And if you're just starting out, you most probably will fail a couple of times. And also, you will not get paid, because you're saying a job here, you will not get paid on attending. You'll get paid on delivering results. So
that might need a standing innovation. I gotta give that was on point.
So yeah, so you don't get paid for the attending, but you paid for getting results. And can you handle not getting paid for getting, for if you don't get results? Because you most probably will be bad at what you're gonna do since you're just starting out. And it's very ignorant to expect you're gonna be good if you're just starting out. And also another tip I would give you, insight, every single day you'll have no clue if what you're doing will work or not, and you'll have no idea where the next customer will come from, and you're gonna be living in massive uncertainty and doubt. And it's only that 2% that you're gonna believe, okay, this is really good, business is really good. And that's only 2% of the time. 98% of the time you have no clue what you're doing works or not. If you can handle all this, coming from a job that's completely secure and leaving that aside and handling uncertainty every single day and planning for uncertainty every single day, then I say business is for you, and you're most probably gonna be successful if you can hold your breath long enough. And if you can't, I don't recommend you taking the risk, because it's gonna be really, really hard. And when I say hard, is that all that I just mentioned.
Do you think that it gets more difficult to start a business the older you get and the more responsibilities you have and the more fixed costs you start to have? We circle back to the concept that a lot of people who get paid to attend, they get the promotion, they upgrade their life. Mm-hmm. They're constantly keeping up with what their salary income is, for example, you know, but in the end, they're potentially not building wealth. Now, as your responsibilities increase, let's say you have to have a bigger house, you need to have a nicer car, you might have a kid, school fees, etc. Do you think it becomes much more difficult to take that leap of starting your own business?
It becomes difficult to match your living expenses, yes, because it's high and you need to match that number. But are you willing? And this was very key for me, because I have done it multiple times. For example, I was in the space industry. I was really known in the space industry. But when I left that, went to investment world, I was irrelevant. And I start from zero. There's a big pain in there where you say, I'm this person, I've done this, I have built satellites, I've whatever you've done. And now you're starting from absolute zero. And then again with Ciola, I started from absolute zero. So can you handle that pain of going there? And it's very uncomfortable to just think of the idea, I'm going to start from zero with a high probability that I'm not going to get any money. And this is my living expenses right now. What am I going to do about it? So yes, it gets more difficult, and it gets even more difficult when you have people that you're responsible of. This I think is the most difficult part. For example, if you have a husband or wife, or if you have kids, you need to pay for living expenses or whatever it is and make sure they live a happy life. And for me, every single jump, the most difficult part was, how can I sustain what I have without letting the people that I'm responsible of feel that there's a change happening? Because you're going to feel it immensely, but you don't have to let them feel it either psychologically or even see it, or even say, no, I can't do this because I'm changing business and so on. So if you can check all the boxes, then it could be fine, but it's tough. It's tough. As more responsibility you get, this is the long answer, yes, it's tough.
So would your advice be, the sooner you start, you take that jump to try and be an entrepreneur, the better?
If I would go back, I would do it much sooner, to be honest. Not because of responsibilities, because of time. Like, you could be at a different spot right now if you started sooner. Every single person right now listening to this, if you just imagine 2 years back or 3 years back, you decided to start a business, even though today you're not making money from that business, you're a much better person in business than that time. You're a much better person than that time, and your probability of succeeding in business is higher. But if you start today, your probability might start at 15% while you could have been at 50%.
15, 25,
yes, exactly. So yeah, the sooner you start, the faster you can pay the debt that you have in terms of not knowing things in life, because the most dangerous part for me also, it was, I don't know what I don't know. the sooner I find out what I don't know, I can solve this problem. So, and it comes back to our first point, which is what is the biggest problem of entrepreneurs? They don't know what they don't know.
Yeah.
And that's
where they're not humble enough.
Yes. And they're not humble enough exactly to accept that they don't know and just go look for answers. So they start wasting time in different things that don't matter for the business.
How much money would you say is a safe amount of money? Let's take it from like a salary. Let's say your annual salary is $100,000. What would you say is the safe amount of money to have saved up in order to leave your corporate job and start a business?
I think more of cash flow than money. And okay, two factors here, which I look at really, like I look at it on a daily basis, one. And this has affected when I was making the transitions. So one is how much money do you have in the bank right now? I'm going to come to the number and so on. And how much money is coming in the bank right now? So the amount that's stored, the amount, the rate of it increasing or decreasing. The amount of stored can be zero. And I've been in situations where the amount in my bank was 300 to 500 dirhams, but same. My cash flow was high. And I survived, of course, I'm here. So
in one piece.
Yeah, in one piece. So yeah, the cash flow is super important. So if you can build an external cash flow, it doesn't matter how much you have in bank, because you know that you're going to get the cash flow to fill up whatever it is. Like you go to zero, you go to 40,000, let's say, then zero, 40,000. You have that room of living, like staying alive, paying everything you need to pay. But as a number, I would cut everything I'm doing right now, if you want to do that jump, to the bare minimum of my living expenses. Can I eat? Can I sleep? Can I have shelter and so on, and drink water and just stay alive for the next couple of months? And then I have a plan B. If it did not work out, I'm going to do this to make that money. And plan C, I'm going to sell my car. Like if you have a car, I'm going to sell this thing that I have.
Asset.
Yeah. So just have these three layers of safety. And I think it's not going to be that important knowing how much exactly you need in your bank account, because it's dependent on the person and their living expenses, where they live, what they do and so on.
Would you say that it's at least 1 year's salary though?
I know this number. I know people, some people say 6 months, some people say 1 year. But what I just mentioned is more important, because I've thought about this, is because it may take more than 1 year. It may take 2 years to 3 years.
To get product market fit.
Exactly. Eventually. What we see in movies and what we see in series and shows, it's just 2 minutes in the full movie or show. But in real life, that 2 minutes is 5 years.
Yeah,
until you figure it out. And it's boring 5 years, like nothing is working.
Yeah,
you have no idea what you're doing and whether this will work out or not. And that's very important. So if you get the cash flow, you have a way to survive. And recently also, the biggest hack I'd say, if you're going, let me talk about this, is that if you're basically looking to that box, how much storage should you have? The biggest hack is, if you're going to the business space, is that learn how to get customers, even if you don't have a product, just learn how to get customers, and you can just keep whatever you have in the bank right now and just start the business. Because if you know how to get customers, you're like in that game where you have the revive card, restart, 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 because you can restart every single time. Whatever you do, for example, you can say, I do social media content. If you know how to get customers, you're going to get customers tomorrow.
Yeah.
Then you can say, okay, I finished that money. I need more money. I sell cups, for example. So you can get customers tomorrow. So you just keep on reviving until you really understand how to push it forward.
Sales skills are so important.
Exactly.
What makes you most nervous about 2024? And the years which will proceed?
Not nervous, but I believe we go, as I mentioned, in cycles. 2024, 2025 is going to be two years of massive opportunity, in my opinion. And things will, then let's say the mechanics of how life works in business and business works will change, in my opinion, in these 2 years. Last year was quiet, kind of. The year before was quiet. 2021 was active. 2020 was active. Before that was quiet. So for the quietness of the past 2 years, I think 2024, 2025 will be super important. And what, let's say, I find challenging or I want to have is to do everything in my power and not waste a single time trying to push forward my goals. And I believe every single person should do this, because from a business perspective, when I talk to people, they say 2024 will be my year. 2024, we're going to be going commercial. Like, people, it's kind of like in the air. I don't know how to explain it, but everyone has big ambitions for 2024 that I've not seen in the past years. That's just a sign for me, because I know that 2024 would be an important year in terms of cycles. And what makes me nervous or challenging, let's say, is that me not being able to
capitalize
or use it to my maximum benefit in every way possible. And I think everyone should be. There's something I used to, I told one guy, he said he was trying to get into crypto. I said, if you can't do anything in 2024 with crypto and you make no money, or 2024 and 2025, just leave crypto forever and never look at it, because it's going to be like the cycle.
Seminal. Yes. Seminal 2 years.
So even with personal branding, I believe it's going to flip. The narrative is going to flip, and you're going to see big companies relying on personal brands more. Mm-hmm. And they're going to, big companies will try to be human more, because they know that a personal brand can dominate the market with a single video, while they have been spending millions on marketing and not hitting anything. So it's going to be a shifting year, 2 years, I believe.
I agree with you. I just want to have my closing question. What is the luckiest thing that has ever happened to you in your life so far?
Lucky. The thing with luck is that it's uncontrollable to me. So I don't think
it doesn't go in the data processing boxes. Go.
I can't code it anywhere in my brain. But again, from a business perspective, because I think this way, is that every big business right now, for example, Zoom, when whatever happened during that time, they exploded because they didn't know it's going to happen, but they exploded because everyone was going online. So they had luck on their side. Luck is a factor, yes, but there are 10 factors that are not luck. So if we look at the small factor is that being alive at such a time with such shift, because I could have been alive at any time during dinosaurs. I could have done, just died.
I think you'd anything. Be a good dinosaur, bro.
Yeah. But yeah, so basically being alive right now.
Basically rational optimist.
Yes.
So never been a better time in humanity.
Exactly.
Things are only getting better.
Exactly, 100%. And the people I know, getting to know people around me, like, they're alive at this time as well, so I get to meet them. I don't look about luck much, but if I want to give an answer, that's my answer. I mean, being alive right now.
Thank you very much for this session. It was an absolute pleasure, and I'm sure it's not going to be the last time. Thank you very much, guys, for watching. I hope you got some value from Adham here, and see you next time. Cheers.